Weekend Breakfast with Refilo and Pakanyane
on 702.
So it's time to talk vaccinations and the fact that they're crucial, they're very, very crucial and will be further crucial in staving off COVID-19 and, of course, the various restrictions that come as a result of this virus. Efforts are being made to optimize South Africa's vaccination campaign against COVID-19 by providing incentives for everyone over 50 years and older who chooses to receive their first dose of the vaccine before the end of the year. So I'm sure you'll have seen reports of increased vaccination rates at certain sites. That's probably part of that campaign. But let's talk about and focus on the fact that the DJ Murray Trust announced that it is working with the National Department of Health to achieve full herd immunity against COVID by 2022. The National Department of Health and other entities have come together to host a webinar, amongst other things, helping to prepare South Africans against this fourth wave that we're now finding ourselves in. And of course, calling on vaccinated individuals to volunteer, to talk to family, to talk to friends and colleagues, and just have that conversation. Joining us to talk more about the work of the DJ Murray Trust is the national lead of the National Department of Health Demand Acceleration Task Team, the CEO, Dr. David Harrison. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Dr. David Harrison. It's a pleasure to have you on. Good morning.
Thanks so much, Rufilo. Great to be with you.
It's an absolute pleasure. It really, really is an absolute pleasure. Let's talk about incentivizing people getting vaccinated, and give us a sense of when you're in a crisis of this nature, and time is of the essence. How do you begin to communicate a message around safety, prioritizing one's health, but also prioritizing other people's health by getting vaccinated?
Well, you know, I think the starting point is for us to understand that there are many reasons why people don't want to get vaccinated, and they're largely not around facts. It's largely around a sense of anxiety. It might be a lack of trust in the messenger, and then there are real realities. There are the day-to-day expenses like taxi fare and getting to a vaccination site that keep people away. So we have to address those issues, and so. So for us, in terms of public communication, the key thing is to ensure that we have got we've got factual messaging, but that it is conveyed by people who are trusted in local communities, and that we also, at the same time as providing the facts, try and address the real anxieties and often seemingly small anxieties that keep people away. That's important. So we've got to make. We've got to make vaccination mean more to people. We've got to increase the perceived value of vaccination to people. That's the first task. And secondly, we have to make it easier for people to get vaccinated. Mm. And that's where incentives kick in.
Mm, absolutely. We'll touch on the Vuma vaccination vouchers and incentives very, very shortly. But in terms of that same messaging, you're talking about access, you're talking about information. And I'm curious if it's happening, or that kind of messaging and information is available, and you know, messaging is happening on platforms that people prefer, or people trust. You know, are we meeting people where they are, whether it is on radio, whether it is on television, whether it's in their languages as well? I wonder about just the quality or the pervasiveness of quality messaging in all our South African languages. Because we're in a very privileged position. We've been tracking news developments from the very beginning, right? These incremental developments around vaccines, these incremental developments around how South Africa was part of these trials, these vaccine trials. So we felt like we've been part of the messaging, and much of it available and understandable for us in English, for instance.
Yeah, I do think that... that earlier this year there was a serious information gap, and it was at a bad time because what it meant is that the misinformation, the conspiracy theory narratives fill that space. And the problem with that, as I say, is that in filling the space, they drove up anxiety. I think that we've had a very deliberate strategy over the last 3 to 4 months, and I've been seconded to work with the National Department to do this, to ensure that that we do have a really grounded communication in all languages. Mm-hmm. And so, so the first thing we did was to say, look, people need they need printed material in their hands. So we printed, literally 30 million. Pamphlets in 14 languages, so not only South African languages, but also French and Swahili and Shona, to try and ensure that we get to as a wider group of people as possible. We've worked with spaza shops across the country, similarly, to try and get to foreign national groups. We've intensified radio in all different in all different languages, and so I think from the sort of the top down communication, we definitely have expanded and diversified the range of media that's available to people, and I think moving away from social media and getting it down onto radio and mm-hmm. and into local print is important. But having said all of that, ultimately what we have to do is mobilize local leaders, mobilize networks of trust locally. And so one of the initiatives that we've put in place is called Vuma Vax Champs, which is really just trying to get ordinary people to be advocates of vaccination with their neighbors, because ultimately, they're the most influential champions rather than the message from the top.
Well, you're speaking of the VumaVax champions idea or VumaVax champs. I mean, those are lessons learned from the HIV and TB campaigns, right? And the years there of trying to remove stigma, trying to educate people around HIV, for instance. Just tell us further, the power of utilizing trusted networks and people that you live amongst, or people that you trust.
Yes, and I led the Love Life HIV prevention campaign for a decade, and the one thing that I learned is that I change if my neighbor changes. I change if somebody that I trust or I look up to is willing to change, is willing to get vaccinated. And so this sort of interpersonal engagement, creating this sort of this club effect, this peer pressure, is absolutely vital. Mm-hmm. And as I said, particularly in something like vaccination, we can obsess with the fights with anti-vaxxers and all the rest of it, but in a funny way, that's the sideshow. The real debate is how do we get to somebody, particularly in an informal settlement, who is largely excluded from mainstream economy, who's got little to lose, and is fairly resentful and says that they're hungry and angry, and it's jobs before jabs. That's where the real battle is. So we have to just be honest about that. We have to engage with the type of networks, the places in which those particularly young people go to, whether that's taverns, whether it's sporting events, and engage them on their terms. And to be honest, I also think in that, we have to understand the limitations of communication in that sphere, and that's where, as I say, I do think that certainly for younger people who are on the margins, and for older people who are battling to survive, we have to start thinking about more transactional approaches. We have to start thinking mm-hmm. about addressing their day-to-day needs, which I think is where incentives and what I call user cost offsets, so where people are paying real expenses to get vaccination, we have to pay those costs for them.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Just unpack for us what the Vuma vaccination vouchers are, how they work, because of course that key phrase that you've used is, first of all, resentment amongst young South Africans who, as you say, are left out of so many key areas of our country's economy. We're seeing youth unemployment at an all-time high, and your research has pointed to just the general resentfulness or resentment towards authority. And of course, that translates into uptake or the lack of uptake in vaccines. So that transactional approach to getting people vaccinated, or at least educating them or incentivizing them, what does it look like?
Yes, and here I think we've got two objectives. One is we're in the fourth wave. We've got to stop people getting very sick and dying, and those that are getting very sick and dying tend to be the oldest people. So that has to be our immediate priority now, even as our second objective has to be to get everybody vaccinated. And so I think we need a quite segmented approach. So let me take the first, which is our immediate desire is to get to the 4 million people over the age of 50 who've not yet come forward for vaccination. And it's this age group that accounts for 80% of the deaths from COVID. So you know, we're really desperate, we're really concerned to ensure that every single person has the chance to come forward for vaccination. We don't want anybody to say, look, I didn't have the taxi fare, or if I'd paid the taxi fare, I wouldn't have been able to put food on the table for my family. So that's the idea of the Vuma voucher. And basically what we're doing is saying to anybody over the age of 50 who comes forward for vaccination for the very first time, you will get a 200 Rand voucher that's redeemable through the ShopRite stores. It's automatically loaded. It's an automatic notification onto the cell number that you gave when you registered. So in this way, we're trying to eliminate those sort of transactional costs that might keep people away.
Mm. All right. Young people, you say, are at the nub of COVID vaccinations. What are we looking like in terms of South Africans who've gotten the second jab, and we're talking herd immunity now, a goal that we're still chasing. How far are we from that goal?
We're a long way away. We've only got about a quarter of our population that is fully vaccinated, and we know that the concept of herd immunity is changing. But what we can say is that right across the world, we've got to cross critical thresholds of scale in terms of vaccination, and that, you know, quite frankly, looking at Europe, is more in the range of 80%. So we've got a long, long journey to go. And again, that's why I think we've got to speak to young people in the language. I think, you know, network operators offering data, free airtime, doing everything we can to really just bring people along with us is going to be vital over the next 6 months.
What does herd immunity, should we reach it or when we reach it? What are the implications of us reaching herd immunity and the likelihood of more variants once we're there? What does that even begin to look like? Variants will be less likely to happen, or is that not material to this discussion? Does it really just mean that we've got some level, some threshold of immunity against, or, and we're able to better deal with other variants, etc.?
So obviously, the more collectively our bodies are empowered to respond to the virus, to recognize, to challenge the virus. So if our nation as a whole has that immune response, firstly, the virus is less likely to be able to take hold in a community, mm-hmm. and secondly, because we have a stronger sort of collective effect, there is a smaller chance of variants happening because variants happen when one has a sort of a weakened immune response. Having said that, I think we have to acknowledge that the term herd immunity has gone out of favor in the scientific community because this virus is so smart. It really is a hustler. And so I think people are no longer speaking about the notion of sort of the holy grail of herd immunity, but that doesn't mean that there are not benefits to have vaccination coverage in the 80s and the 90%. Because what we've seen in countries in Europe, for example, is that where they've done that, yes, you certainly continue to have high rates of transmission because you can still transmit the virus even if you've been vaccinated. But the death rates and the hospitalizations are far less. So I think where we're at now is thinking that we're not going to stop COVID, but what we can do is convert it into a far milder disease, something that we'll have to then learn to live with.
Mm. All right. So, of course, people can go on to vaxchamp.org.za if they want to become Vuma Vax Champs and help in the fight against COVID-19. So all of that material is presented in our official languages. Just very, very finally, in terms of the Vuma campaigns going forward, how have you scaled up? How are you mobilizing during this December period as our final question?
So from yesterday, we started what's going to be a week of what we call a Vuma week. Previously we had Vuma weekends. In the two prior weekends, we had 650,000 people coming forward for vaccination. So they work. We've now asked the provinces to put up pop-up stands in transport hubs, in shopping centres, in recreational spaces over this next week to try and get to people that they don't typically get to. So we're really urging everybody ahead of the fourth wave, ahead of the festive season, to come forward for vaccination and ensure that you and your families are protected and safe, and that you have an enjoyable festive season and not one in hospitals or in funerals. Mm.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. Dr. David Harrison is the CEO of the DG Murray Trust. He's the national lead of the National Department of Health's vaccine or vaccination demand uptake task team.